This is the Rush Hour Podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Firstly, I'm going to blow my own trumpet here.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's unusual.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
We're not right. That's why people listen to us. Yeah. Hello to everyone on this fine Wednesday. I'll tell you what we've got coming up. Sam Doherty in here.
Ooh.
This is Carlton Best and Fairest winner last year, Bill.
Yes.
And a very, very, very good player. And looking forward to Sammy wandering in. And then in the second hour, midweek Rob, Jason Dunstall, little Jay-Z Clark.
Oh, Jay-Z!
So that's your show, as well as a couple of topics. And you'll be surprised at what's coming up when I get to topics in just a moment. But
topics.
Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day you, Leroy.
Time for Louis Hamble.
Well done, Bill.
Well done. Yes. Oh, I used to tell some of the best and worst jokes ever, Jim.
Yep.
We had some bit of fun, and we had Lou's funeral today, 11 o'clock, in the, just across from Federation Square there today. Nice big crowd, Jim, as you would expect.
Expect, exactly.
And all the superstars there. Bobby Skilton, had a chat to Bobby.
The chimp.
He's had a bit of bad time,
yeah,
too.
He has with himself.
He's going okay. And Peter McKenna, the legend, and Rexy Hunt. And all the Collingwood playing lists were there, Jim, and
good.
Nathan Buckley. And then they left a bit early. Obviously, they had to go and train.
Mm-hmm.
But his daughter, Nicole, got up and said, she spoke about Team Lou. So not the Collingwood football team or the media team. This was the home team.
Home team.
He owned the Phoenix Hotel, and she spoke about the grandkids and just the things they learnt there. Then Eddie spoke beautifully, as you would.
Always does.
Yeah. But very passionate about Collingwood, and as Lou was.
Yep.
Three of the family were captains of Collingwood, and it goes way back to the first game in the VFL. Lou's, I think, grandfather or something like that. So anyway, he spoke well. And then Tony Jones spoke about him as a friend, but also in the media, which was very good. And he had this to say.
But football aside, Lou also helped jockey Simon Marshall make his foray into television. Simon was with us and we'd file stories for the Spring Carnival on Nine News. Lou would go into the voiceover booth with him while Simon put his voice down for the story. Incredibly, Lou would stand there with a small billiard cue and give him one across the back if Simon didn't do it properly. It sounds cruel, but Lou figured that if Simon did it to the horses, then he was fair game.
Oh, no, very good. And then, I tell you, I don't know Ron Joseph, but he got up and he spoke, obviously very, very close to Lou, and he spoke as though he was Lou and had a go at a few people there. And if that Mike Fitzpatrick's here, I should be in that Hall of Fame and things like that. And Ron was very, very good also. So well done to the speakers and a lovely service, Jim.
Good.
For Lou, who was 94, it was a very good
nice
day.
Nice send-off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's good. A celebration, which is what it should be. 94 fantastically lived years.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. So all the best to
nicely done. Recent. I see where Heath Shaw from the GWS has said that sledging will always be a part of the AFL. Admits it can be hard not to overstep the mark in the heat of the match.
Yep.
Of course, had his own issues earlier on in the year with something he said to Sydney's Tom Papley.
Yes.
It is a vexed question, Bill, the whole sledging thing. And we are of a bygone era, funnily enough.
Caveman.
Because we don't think about ourselves that way. But in our time, you with footy and me with cricket, sledging was a far, far more rife thing and far fruitier too.
Fruitier, Jim.
Bill.
But it has changed. There's no doubt it has
changed.
The landscape
has changed. And we've got to get our heads around that.
We do.
Because it is very different. And it's no good saying, well, we had to put up with it because our time's come and gone.
But
it's the modern players.
The younger generation haven't grown up like us, Jim.
Yep.
So you would assume that it wouldn't be as fruity.
No.
And maybe it was on the weekend. But I reckon now the players all know that maybe we don't go there anymore.
Yep. So a lesson learnt for the whole
I think that exactly, and the AFL didn't have to step in. It was for the players to work it out.
Yeah, and they have.
And they're big enough and sensible enough to do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now. Fremantle, they get back Stephen Hill. They've missed him a little bit. And Hayden Ballantyne, where's he been, Jim? He's been out for a while.
Just building nicely for you.
They are. Harley Bunnell got fined $10,000, Jim. $5,000, which is suspended for 12 months for going out in the ground.
Yes.
And had some advice
for
his cousin, I think it was.
Yes.
Dyson Heppel will be fit for the West Coast Eagles on Sunday. He got stitches in his hand, Jim.
Yes.
An accident with a microwave.
Microwave. How does that happen?
Well, I think he dropped the plate.
Right.
And he bent down to pick it up or something and cut his hand. Another first gamer for the Giants, Jim. They've got an unbelievable injury list.
Yeah, they have.
Huge injury list. Harry Perryman. Harry Perryman.
What a high draft pick, I think, Harry Perryman.
Yeah, I think he was, Jim. He's from Colongally, New South Wales. Number 13 he was, Jim, 2015. Yep. So good luck to Harry. And Travis Varko has had a setback. He had a hammy, and I think he might have restrained it. So he's out for another couple of weeks. Is old Travy. Good bloke, Travy Varko.
I saw something very interesting yesterday, Bill. I'm going to share it with you next. How do we get involved social media style, Leroy?
Yeah, at Triple M Rush Hour on Facebook and Twitter.
Send us your feedback and a nice prize just before the 5 o'clock news. Yes, the top five and the best piece of social media feedback.
So we like that, Jim.
Just let us know what you're thinking of the show or the people on it or anything that's going on in society, and Bill reads out the top five.
Yeah.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
I haven't done this one for a while.
What is it?
Hit it, please, Leroy.
Seen a cow chewing a bit of grass with a leg growing out of his ear.
I just saw a bloke carrying a plant on a motorbike.
I was just travelling on the Monash outbound on a Friday afternoon and I looked down at the speedo, 100K.
Now, telling you what this is, it's called What Have You Seen Unusual?
Unusual, Jim.
And Bill,
yep.
I bring it up because last night I left our station here, Clarendon Street, South Melbourne. Straight down underneath is the Coles.
Yes.
I needed to get some veggies. Mm. Bill, as I'm walking around at 6:05 in the evening,
veggies.
A lady's in there shopping with her pyjamas on.
No.
Yes.
A nice negligee?
No, full long-sleeved pyjama top and long pants.
Slippers?
No, I can't remember what she had. Must have had slippers on her feet.
Yeah.
Full pyjamas.
Jammies.
I looked at her, I thought it's only 6:05.
You said to yourself,
that's unusual.
Yes,
I hadn't seen that ever.
Exactly, that is unusual.
Suburban
Jim.
Shopping centre, and she's walking around in her PJs.
Oh, that is unusual.
So I thought to myself, that's unusual.
So I'll tell you what I've seen unusual, Jim.
Yes.
Front page of Herald Sun today, Homer. He's a big fat cat.
What?
Weighing 14 kilograms, about three times the size of a normal cat, Jim.
Yes.
But also is 1.2 metres long.
What?
Look at Omar.
That's like a bloody mountain lion.
Well, exactly, Jim. Hmm. It could be the longest cat in the world.
They're right.
Just checking out with the Guinness Book of World Records.
But that is unusual.
That's a bloody unusual looking cat,
right,
Jim.
So the family know how this one works. 133353, ring us now. What have you seen unusual? So, what have you seen unusual is what we're going with. Greg's in Berwick. Hello, Greg.
Hey, JB.
What have you seen unusual there, mate?
Greg?
Your jokes have been good too, Billy.
I think they have. And that is unusual.
But down at Rosebud yesterday, driving along Point Nepean Road, an old fella, probably pushing 70, started dancing like a ballerina, and he had a little tutu on.
No way.
Yeah, seriously?
Waiting for a bus.
What, on the road? Just on the side of the road?
On the side of the road, near the bus stop.
Oh, gee. What did you say to yourself, Greg?
That's unusual.
That's it. Nicely done. All right, stay on the line. Doc's in Somerville. Doc?
Hey, boys. How you going?
Doctor, give us the news.
I was driving down the... well done, Billy. I was driving down the new Peninsula Link about 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And I looked over at this really nice-looking Maserati thing. Anyway... I had to have a second look. There's this old guy driving it. He would have been into his 80s, I reckon. He had no hair. Mm. And he had the two tubes into his nose and the oxygen bottle in the back seat.
No. As he's driving along.
He was driving. He was as crusty as... $30,000 car and he's driving this thing and he's on bloody oxygen.
That's funny. All right, stay there, Doc. That's good. Ken's in Seaford, Bill.
Kenny.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, Kenny. What do you got for us, Kenny?
Driving down Princess Freeway yesterday.
Yeah.
Truck was merging onto the freeway from Pakenham, and he was holding out his own mirror to merge.
Holding out his own mirror?
Correct. His side mirror was completely off, and there he is holding it as I'm going past, and I see him pull it back in.
That's funny. Like it, Bill.
It's not bad. He can move it around.
Move it around. He's probably not focusing enough on the road, I would have thought. But Ryan's in Somerville. Hey, Ryan.
JB, Bill. How are you, boys?
Good, Ryan.
What have you seen unusual, rhinoceros?
Oh, boys. The in-laws own a cafe down on the Mornington Peninsula, and there's actually a customer that comes in regularly. He calls himself Little Woofy. Wears paws, a tail, and a little headpiece thing and actually shakes his tail and says, "Little Wolfie would like a cappuccino."
No, third parties himself.
Oh, mate, I think they call them furries.
Oh, boy.
Wears a suit, a Wolfie suit.
Yeah, yep, dresses up like a little wolf and actually calls himself Little Wolfie.
And waves his tail when he orders a coffee.
That's funny. All right, stay there, Olivia, in Kilmore, in a very nice part of the world. Hey, Liv.
Bloody freezing.
Hi.
It would be cold there today, Liv.
Oh, it's freezing.
It is. Always in Kilmore, Jim.
Yes, absolutely.
What have you seen unusual, Liv?
Well, just about a week ago, I was with my nine-month-old son, and we're going into the new Aldi shop, and an old lady came around the corner with a leash, and I thought, oh, she's just walking her dog. And next thing you know, the cat has come around the corner on a leash.
Oh, she had a cat on the leash.
Yeah, she was walking her cat on the leash, and she's actually, like, tied it around a pole to go inside and get what she needs to get and come back out. Had a cute little outfit on and everything. So, yeah, I thought that was a bit unusual.
That is unusual. In a shop.
Yeah, well,
anywhere,
Audi.
Anywhere, Bill.
Well, it's Kilmore, Jim. That's what they do.
Paul's in Geelong. Let's see what's unusual down there.
Oh, no. Hey, are we right to go for the big grandstand opening, Paulie?
We are, actually.
And the lights?
Looking forward to it. Lights look great.
How good are they?
Oh, so you're going to understand that you've now had them for 4 years and you're 30 years behind the SCG. So let's not commentate on the lights anymore.
Yes, Paul.
Working last night, boys, on the Eastern Freeway Clifton Hill Rail overpass.
Yes.
And about 1 o'clock this morning, seen a guy on a push bike carrying a microwave.
Oh, no.
No lights, no helmet.
Might have just found it somewhere.
Dyson Heppel. Wasn't Dyson Heppel, was it?
I think he might have found it somewhere.
So I reckon someone would have found it, Jim.
Found it in someone's house.
Very funny.
Discovered it. All right. Well done, Paulie. I like it. Yeah. Always. You can never lose. What have you seen unusual? It's just the gift that keeps giving.
It is, Jim.
It might be the only decent idea you've provided this show in 7 years.
Jokes?
No.
And I come up with idiot file.
No, you
come
don't.
Up with the bake.
You come up with idiot file, do you?
Yep. And the bake. I've come up with all those, Jim.
Deft little tap from Warnock into the path of McLean. Comes to Doherty. Gets to 45. Cap out off. And cap it off he does.
John Nicholls medal winner, if you don't mind, Willis, which is, of course, the best and fairest award at the Blues. Carlton. One of the most famous awards in football to Sam Doherty. Samuel, welcome to you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, you're flying, mate. Your team's been playing nice football and you've been playing very nice football, so that's good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a reasonable start to the year. Obviously, it'd be nice to have a couple more wins in the bank as we come from now, but it's been good. It's been pleasing with the group that we've got. It's nice and young, seeing plenty of growth and a bit of genuine excitement at the Blues at the moment, which is good.
No doubt about that. Yeah, the best and fairest. Also, funny enough, Jim won the most improved player.
Yeah, well, you would have thought.
Exactly. What is the improvement there? Is it just getting back into Melbourne and living here and having a club, a Melbourne club?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. It's the being comfortable back, being home. Obviously, we had a change in coach last year and a fair change in list demographic. And I give a fair bit of credit to Bolts and the way that he's brought on his game plan at our footy club, and it sort of suits the way I play, and I've been lucky enough to sort of cement a spot down back, obviously with some good players, and it's been a pretty steady group back there, so it's been able to build some familiarity with my teammates, and I'm just growing from there, really.
Not always arm across, Sammy. Often got a roving commission, would have thought. How does the coach explain to you what you're actually meant to do?
He's on my back about defending, and the boys have a bit of a laugh that I generally run around with no opponent. But it's just knowing the right times to defend and when to drop off and impact the contest, which sometimes I get right, sometimes I get wrong.
Well, what you do get right is your use going out, and that's so crucial. If you're getting a lot of the ball in the back half, you've got to then be able to kick it in modern footy.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing in today's footy. There's a role of the small half back that runs and kicks it out there, which has probably grown more and more over the last few years. And I think the best sides in the competition have a very good half-back line, which is hopefully something that we're growing at the Blues and can be very good for the next few years.
And it's important to get that back six just playing footy together, isn't it? And you're doing that with Plowman and Marchbank. Wiedering, would you like to see him back there or leave him up forward?
Personal note, I'd love to have him back, but obviously he's doing the team role down forward, and he's growing his game, which is going to be more beneficial for us long term in the future to be able to play both ends. selfish me would love to have him down back because he's a star of a player and he intercepts well and obviously he's a great kid and love having him at the Blues, really. Mm.
And Rowe's an underrated defender too, I reckon. People watching would look at Sam Rowe and think that, you know, going around. But I would imagine within the tent, you would understand, all of you at the Carlton Footy Club, how important the role he plays is.
Yeah, I think there's Rowie. Rowie's had a terrific few years now. And he does cop a fair bit of stick about his game. But internally, he's rated really highly. He gets the job done most weeks on the best players, players for the opposition. And I think a bit of growth this year is we've brought in Alex Silvani, who's taking down another role and which is allowing the likes of Plowman and Marchbank to play off their men and to play on a bit of a smaller end, grow their game. And we're seeing the growth of that with both Plowman and Marchbank for the future.
I don't think people understand either, Sam, that when you're playing in a side that's not in the top five, the ball's down there a lot and it's often coming down on a silver platter. Now, it's not scrambled often when it's coming into the bottom five teams, you know, forward line. Now, the Blues have elevated themselves out of the first seven rounds of this year, which is a great thing. But for a lot of, say, Sam Rowe's time, he's been on the best forward and the ball's been coming in a lot and in pretty good shape.
Yeah. A few years ago, Rowe had a bit of a stiff gig. We were getting a lot of inside 50s and he was basically left one out to defend it. I think a fair improvement in our game this year has been our midfield. And all credit has to go to him that when they're not winning the ball, they're bringing the ball in ugly, and it's allowing us as defenders to set up well behind the ball and hopefully stop some scores from stoppages mainly.
A bit happening on the weekend, Sadavo. Did you get involved in that, a bit of sledging, or you just stay out of that, Sammy?
No, I am. I was just saying before that I kicked the ball to Gibbsy, who kicked the goal, and went and celebrate with him. And by the time I got back to realise that there was a melee turning around, I'd run around and Simo was trying to tell me something, which I can't remember at all what he was trying to tell
me. It's great vision, this. Now, you've got to have a look at the vision because you run in, you kick the ball, then you run back to the back line, then you see the melee. So you're coming, charging in, I'm going to do something here. And Kate Simpson is standing there going, I reckon he's got two fingers up going, it's going to cost you $2,000, this. Going to cost you $2,000. You've heard that and just spun straight around and walked back.
I'd love that would be the story that would come to Simo's head to say, save your money, mate, and head back to the back line. The umpire did their little trick of, we're going to ball the ball up. If you're not back in your position, then I'm still throwing it up. And if you've got too many in the square, bad luck. I think once it sorted out itself, they got a kick inside 50 and we had a 4v1 because the Saints boys were still up on the wing.
Yeah, beautiful.
And how did the club handle the other stuff? I mean, we don't need to go into any detail, of course, but your skipper has had a big week on the back of it all. Was it mentioned internally or was it just left to Murph to do what he wanted to do with it?
The club backed Murph in. Murph obviously came out and said that basically he didn't want to take it any further, and that's fair enough. We spoke as a group about our expectations of our players, and obviously we would never go that far. We like to toe the line, and like most clubs do, but there's obviously the line that you don't want to cross, and obviously it does get very tight on games. And I'd seen an article before about Heath Shaw saying sledging will be in footy, but it's important to understand that players in the heat of battle, it is very intense out there. But it's obviously that fine balancing act between what's right and what's wrong.
Mm. What about the melee thing? Do you ever think, because you've obviously got to fly the flag, do you ever think, you know what, I actually could do with hanging on to that $2,500?
Yeah.
Like, does it ever go through your mind, or do you just see it and go over and
fly the flag?
Help out?
No. Where is a football club that if one of our mates is getting bumped or whatever it is, we're all in. It's us as a group. We look after each other, and we want to be known as a football club that's united, and that's come out in all of our messaging from the club. But that's how we are on the field. That it's money, but it's the respect of your teammates that you want to have.
And the broader community as well. I reckon he doesn't play for us anymore, Spud Ferrito.
Yeah.
I don't think he earned a cent playing footy in 10 years.
Every fight he was in
it. In the middle of it.
And I'll tell you what, Scotty Thompson's not far behind. He's in every bloody fight.
They don't have a cent to rub together, those two blokes, because that's all they ever do is blow.
Break.
But you admire him, Bill, because you must fly the flag.
Oh, yeah, but fair enick, I'd love to punch him in the nose. See Ferrito out the street.
Who did you ever punch in the nose, by the way?
Michael Tuck.
Oh!
One day I got him.
By mistake. Yeah, I didn't know he was there.
He was wiry. And he used to throw them too. He'd give you a good old mouthful and he'd throw them, Tucky.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that nice fair player. My heart. Hey, come back after break because I've got to ask you about Wan Thaggy.
Carlton defender Sam Doherty with us.
78 games, Bill. If you'd have asked me how many games Sam's played, I would have said it'd be 178.
Well, I would have thought about 13 at Brisbane and 64 or 5 at Carlton.
That's what you would have thought? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you would have thought that.
And grew up in supporting Carlton. That is fantastic. Who'd you have on the duffel coat?
Originally Brett Ratton, and then I actually had Cade Simpson, funny enough.
You did not.
When I was getting a bit older. He's 10 years older than me, so.
Can you believe how skinny he is?
He's still a twig. But he's got one of those bodies that he just gets it done. He just prepares each week and hardly ever gets injured, touch wood, but he just keeps rolling out there.
And one Thaggy, tell us about, what was that like growing up there?
Grew up Phillip Island, went to school in one Thaggy.
There's a school there.
Bit of a rivalry between Phillip Island and Montague growing up in school, in footy. So,
yep.
But it was good fun. A lot of my school friends that I went to school with at school, I played against on the weekend, and it was a bit of fun. Phillip Island's a great place to grow up. Plenty going on, and my mum's still down there now, so get down there every now and then.
You a surfer?
No, I'm not a surfer. I can't stand up. I'm not balanced enough.
Golfer?
Golfer. I do love golf.
Where do you play?
Member at Peninsula, like nice. A few of the boys. Yep. I'm quite average. I had a bit of a day out today, though, which I'm pretty happy about.
Oh, so tell us, what are you playing off?
I'm off 16 at the moment, but it'll go down after today.
How many points?
Career best today, 84, so I'm pretty happy with myself.
Yeah, shot the lights out.
What's that, 84 off
the stick? Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Crikey. Yeah, so 12 over. So
who'd you take the money off?
Who'd I play with? Matty Dick today, who's
Matty Dick
last year. Paddy Kerr and Kieran Byrne went out today.
Kieran Matty Dick too. I've forgotten about Dick.
And the beautiful Nat, we obviously see at Brownlow time and best and fairest time with your girl. How's she going?
She's going really well.
She a Brisbane girl or originally from here?
No, she's from Coronella, which is just around the corner from Phillip Island. So
bit of a high
childhood sweetheart.
Yeah, childhood sweetheart.
Did she go up to Brisbane with you?
Came up with me and
so
made the trek.
Big reason why you came back then?
part of it, but it's she's a great chick, and I'm pretty lucky that she came up, and obviously pretty lucky that she's hung on, really.
And you went over to Europe in the off season with Nat?
Yep, so Europe.
Where'd you go?
We went to Ireland originally, and went to Zach Tui's house for a week. Yeah. So
Us about that. What's that like?
It's interesting. We went there and we checked out Dublin and took a trip down to Cork to see one of the other Kieran Sheehan, seeing his family. But mainly, most of the time we spent in Zach's little county. It was good fun. It was a bit of an eye opener to see just how the locals live over there, and it was really good fun. It was good to meet his family. Who I'd heard a fair bit about, and and then after that, tripped off to London, Amsterdam, and then Paris.
Did you take the golf sticks to Ireland? Magnificent golf courses over there.
No, I got out and had a hit, but I had the higher clubs. It was a long way to carry the sticks around for one round of golf.
Beautiful people, the Irish people, aren't they? They're my friendliest, nicest people.
Yeah, it was a terrific trip. Obviously, as footballers, we're pretty privileged that we can get away. For a fair stint of time at the end of the year, and fingers crossed I'll get away at the end of this year as well.
How was the Louvre? Did you get down there, and what did you go and see?
We went in there and tried to run around and see the Mona Lisa, and then
how disappointing is the Mona Lisa?
It is, and it's very hard to get to the front room. I sent Nat in and burrowed into the front and got a photo, and then we basically left.
iPad, isn't it? It's big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tiny. It was very underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
For the time that we searched around the place and tried to find it, and finally got the photo, it was like, oh, okay, we got the photo, and then we just walked out, and that was it.
That and Stonehenge.
I didn't even.
Well, I went to Stonehenge. And there was,
that's underwhelming, Bill. We're into the wrong joint.
Stonehenge. That was underwhelming too, Jim.
You just drive straight past
block.
It.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. I could drive down to the Geelong Freeway and there'd be some stones there.
Probably not quite as impressive. Sam, you're pretty low-key with the way you go about it. Is that by choice?
It's not that I don't like doing media. It's just I pick and choose a bit which media things I go on, and obviously it's a bit of a choice whether you want to do it or not. And, I'm looking to do a little bit more as we go along. And, but it's been enjoyable. It's obviously, part of footy and, part of your personal brand that you've got to do a bit of media here and there. Mm. And, it's enjoyable to come in and talk to
especially
good lads like this.
Once you're a BNF winner, elevates your touch.
And we like the way he goes about it. Yep. Are you, put on one of the t-shirts, the marriage equality t-shirts, and said that love is love and you can marry whoever you want?
Yeah, I put one up. I'm part of the PA, and they approached and said, would you like to get involved? And I said, certainly. It's it doesn't make sense to me why two people that love each other can't get married. And
couldn't agree with you anymore.
Hopefully, everyone, if you can jump online and sign the petition, that would be great. But obviously, we can hopefully get a change in
great
what happens.
Great lineup too. Rory Sloane, I saw Benny Brown, Easton Wood,
Bob Murphy, Dyson Heppel.
Yep. Fantastic.
Everyone's virtually got involved, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's the powerful message that's behind it, is that there's a couple players from every single football club in the AFL, and obviously hopefully we can get a change in what's going on.
But Sam, it is astounding to me that this is 2017 and we're still even discussing this. Yeah. They allow same-sex marriage in New Zealand, so they're in front of us.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
That's the thing. It is bizarre that we haven't changed, and hopefully...
Why haven't we?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
You know what a wise man told me? That the government has a look at it, and because there's a lot of rednecks and out there in the country areas and they don't agree with it, they do the numbers and say, no, we're not going with it because the numbers won't get us over the line.
What about some leadership? What about instead of counting the numbers, actually stand up and lead and say we're, you know, miles behind everyone else, let's do the right thing? Would we ever think about doing that, do you reckon?
No, well, that would be nice from the government to show some leadership. So, as the PA have shown here. So, well done to you, boys.
Hey, a couple of big rounds. You've got the Freo Dockers, who are going very nicely at the moment, over in Perth. And then, of course, the mighty rivalry with the Kangaroos coming up the week after that. But how do you go in Perth against Freo as a rule?
We had a very good win there last year. It was our first win for the year, and took over a young group. We generally travel pretty well over there, and it's a good opportunity for a young group to get away together and build some more bonds that we're trying to get at our footy club, and hopefully put in a good performance over there.
Nate Fife sneaks forward. Do you just wander over to him, or do you leave someone else?
No, you've got to have to stick with him.
No, I reckon I'll give him to someone that's a little bit taller than me.
Hey, Sam, Bill said exactly the right thing. We love the way you go about it.
Yep.
Great to watch playing footy. Great to see the Blues starting to emerge too. Good on you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks,
guys.
Doc.
Sam Doherty, an absolute beauty. I tell you what, Bill.
Yes, please.
If State of Origin footy was played still,
yep,
that's where that bloke would really come through. He's already playing well enough, but if he played in a state team, imagine that.
Yeah.
He would
just...
What
do you mean? What are you saying? Why?
Well, because why? You don't get enough appreciation of how good a player like that is, because he plays for a side that aren't in the finals and all the rest of it. He played for Victoria in a State of Origin game, he would dominate.
Yeah.
And we'd all go, geez, that Sam Doherty can bloody play.
Exactly.
Not that we don't already. Now, social media.
Wow, Jim. Righto, we're down to our top three today, Jimmy Boy, Triple M merchandise pack.
Give it to me.
Number three comes off Facebook.
Yep, sent through by John from Ocean's Grove. You're shopping at the BWS with the Billy's Legends bottle opener for sale.
Yes.
Recommended retail price of $14, JB.
Yes.
On sale for $3.
Oh, no, already plummeted.
Yes.
$3 will get you one of them. Righto.
Number two goes to Stephen Allen. Eddie, Ron Joseph and Tony Jones did amazing tributes to Lou, giving them the best thumbs up for it as well. Rest in peace, Lou. Well done, Stevie Allen.
Very good.
Stevie. And the toppy one, and a lot of feedback on you saying Collingwood Carlton's opie, by the way. But this one's Sean. Good on you, Sean. P2578.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about same-sex marriage? They're already living together, doing their thing, just frigging... just beeping, legalise it.
Legalise it.
Just legalise it, says Sean. That's fair enough. That's what we're all thinking here.
Yep.
And we're talking to Sam Doherty. He's the same, the PA. Let's just do it and move on.
I like it.
Listening to you boys makes the travel on the way home much quicker. Good on you, Miss Bugs.
All right. I feel good! Midweek rub, so we better keep charging along. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. The Golden State Warriors have absolutely blown up San Antonio.
Have they? What?
Taking a 2-0 lead, 136-100. An undermanned San Antonio, we should say.
Still missing their best player. How did Steph go?
It's Golden State, by the way. Yeah, 31 points for Steph. 6 3-pointers on his way to it. Bill, they are unbackable from what you read.
Yeah.
The Golden State.
They win it, Jim.
They just
beat your mob.
They look like they just win.
Remember Missouri? The first gorilla born in Australia in the Melbourne Zoo, Jim?
Yes.
Has died in France today. Yeah. She was 33 years old.
Is that old for a gorilla?
Yes, it is, Jim. That's very old for a gorilla.
I see, Bill.
I think they're 7 years
no,
to the human.
Right.
And also Winx.
What does that actually mean? Yes, please.
Winks has been elevated to the Sports Hall of Fame while still active. Normally, when they pass on, they're elevated to the Hall of Fame, but Winks is straight in there. Superstar.
And fair enough, too. Yep. All right. What we're doing now next is a little bit of topics. And after that, Jason Dunstall, Jay-Z Clark, a very big serve of the midweek, Rob. Nothing worse than the realisation that you're starting to sound like your parents.
Oh, no, Jim.
Happened to me the other night, Bill.
What happened?
I blew up at home because my kids, seriously, might qualify as a group, as a foursome, as the laziest ever created.
Especially Henry.
Oh, seriously.
What about Henry?
he might be the leader, but he's got three real good mates.
Allies.
Honestly, seriously. So I blew up the other night and I said, you, I just can hear my old man saying it. I said, you wouldn't work in an iron lung. That's what I said. And then I thought, I can't imagine how many times my old man said that to me. Yeah. And I could hear the same inflection, Bill, the everything, and I just thought, that is scary. I'm becoming my own father.
You sound like your dad.
100%.
Yep. A lot of people do, especially girls, and they say, Jim, if I sound like my mother, shoot me or let me know. And so you say, I reckon you're sounding like your mum.
Yep.
I sound nothing like her. Oh, you can't win, Jim.
This is it, Bill. So hence, 133353, when have you sounded exactly like one of your parents? And it happened to me just the other night, and I caught myself straight afterwards, Bill, and I went, oh, this is not good. This is not good. Much as I love my old man, I don't want to be sounding like him already. Ring us now, 133353, when did you sound exactly like one of your parents? Talking about when you sound like your parents, like I did the other night, blew up my lazy kids. I said, you wouldn't work in an iron lung.
Yes.
Which my old man used to say all the time. Ryan's in Diggers Rest. Hello, Rhino.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Oh, tell us about it, Rhino.
Well, I start getting halfway through what I think is a ripper joke for the first time to my wife, and she ends up telling me, you've already about a dozen times, you're sounding exactly like your old man.
That's scary, isn't it?
Oh, the dad jokes are terrible.
And you actually got to say it before you start. If I have said this, please stop me, because you just think to yourself, nothing worse.
Hang around for about 35 minutes, Jim.
And you'll hear another one. Donna's in Cockatoo. Hey, Donna.
Hi.
Hey, Donza.
When do you sound like your parents?
I constantly yell at my kids when they don't close the door behind them. Were you born in a tent?
Oh, that is a classic, that one.
And I do it to also just remember that I often say, what did your last slave die of?
Yeah, that's it.
Foot rot. But that one, always with the door open. Oh, you're born in a tent.
Yeah. Like, shut the door. John's
but
in
we
one
didn't
Albert.
Do it, Jim. You didn't do it as a kid.
That's true. Hello, Johnny. John.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Going beautifully, John. Mate. When have you sounded like one of your parents?
My dad had a heap of sayings, but his favourite one, if we'd really done something stupid, was, if your brains were dynamite, you couldn't part your hair.
Yes.
I didn't heard that one.
I like it. I like it. Well, stay there. Darren's in Snorbs. Hello, Daz.
Daz.
G'day, boys.
What do you got for us, Dazzling?
My father, about my music. You know, my father used to always stand there about me heavy metal. I used to grow up with Iron Maiden and Motorhead and all that stuff, AC/DC. My father would be going, Darren, I cannot understand what they're talking about. I can't understand. They're too loud. My God, your music is out of control. Oh, now, my kids, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, Daz.
Kids, listen to this. I cannot understand what these people are doing.
Daz, the same thing happened to me the other day. I was driving the kids to school. They put it onto, I don't know, Kiss FM or one of those young bloody stations. And Daz, I said exactly the same thing. I said, how do you listen to this crap? Like, seriously.
That's it.
And I remember my old man saying exactly the same thing in the car.
Yeah.
Leanne's in Romsey. Oh, very nice out there. Hey, Leanne.
G'day, boys. I always remember my old man saying to me, I swear to God, if you don't finish what's on your plate, you know there's people dying in countries to eat that. Oh. And, I did it the other day with my son, but unfortunately he's 32 and he'd throw it back at me now.
That's it. No, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Yep.
You got to eat those veggies. Eat those Brussels
sprouts. Or
it'll
be there in the morning.
Brussels sprouts.
You'll have it in front of you in the morning.
Mum used to make us sit there and you weren't allowed to leave and it'd be cold as a Brussels sprout ever.
Yep.
And you had to try and eat it.
No, no good either. Still no good Brussels sprouts.
That's not good for you. That's not good parenting, is it, Jim?
Well, I suppose it teaches you to eat your food.
No.
Bread and dripping. I remember being served that. My mum really cracked it with me one day. She said, right, everyone else can have dinner and you're having bread and dripping. It got presented in front of me. Come on, turd.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
They come from everywhere.
It's a beauty.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Midweek Rub time. Jason Dunstall always here, Hawthorne legend, yeah, and filling in for Damo today very, very capably. Jay-Z Clark, Triple M and Herald Sun's own. Hello, Jay-Z.
Boys, great to be here.
Hello, boys. The leg spinner from Herne Hill Cricket Club.
Herne Hill.
Close, Alexander Thompson. A very bad leg spinner I was, Bill. Oh, honestly, the batsman just used to
lick
dine
their chops
out of me.
Very hittable leggies, Bill.
Oh, what about they throw them up and you just go, where will I hit this one?
There's only ever been one leg spinner in the modern history of the game that hasn't been hittable.
Correct.
The rest were absolutely help yourself. Turn the bat sideways. Now, Jay-Z, it's been a very interesting week.
It has, mate.
Off-field issues have dominated. How have you seen the whole Carlton sledging thing?
Well, I think it's quite clear now that attacking someone's family is absolutely out of bounds. So I knew the race and racial and sexual vilification, you know, was out of bounds. And now it's quite clearly you can't attack someone's family, whether that be their mother or wife or whatever. So although the AFL hasn't investigated this matter,
Are you critical of them for that?
Oh, I think it could have done with one because it's caused so much attention. You know, it's quite clear that Mark Murphy was quite agitated about it. There's been such a strong response around the industry. So I think they could have spoken to the parties involved. That said, I think there's been a bit of chat behind the scenes and it's quite clear now to everyone that you just can't go there.
I'd love the players to own this issue.
Yeah.
I'd love them to get together and say, right, we're the ones that are playing in the heat of the battle. We understand the frustrations. We understand the pressures. Let's just have some guidelines about where we can go and where we can't go. Let's be brutally honest. There aren't many places you can go anymore.
No.
I reckon there's a good opportunity for the players to really own this.
But the players know now, I reckon.
Well, obviously they don't, Bill. Otherwise it wouldn't have got out of hand.
Well, it hasn't happened a lot, or has it? Has this happened to Mark Murphy? Why is it blowing up all of a sudden this weekend? Because what I'm hearing is it's happened a bit over the last couple of years.
There has been some rumours, obviously, and he was quite agitated with Jake Carlisle. He was probably pretty silly to like a tweet afterwards. Maybe he didn't get it, Jake, so I'm sure he'll be getting a bit of a talking to. But I think 99% of the players, like, I think they know
the boundaries.
I think it became very
public after the weekend because there was almost the biggest stoush at three-quarter time you've ever seen. Mm. They just went berserk.
Mm. Mm.
They did. Was there any fines out of that, by the way?
I think there will be.
There hasn't been yet.
Not yet. Not that I've seen, but I don't know how.
It should be out by now. I think it's an issue.
I don't know.
They're still trying to track down the blur of jumpers. They're all involved, Bill. They're saying, who have we missed?
There was. They were bloody everywhere, no doubt about it.
But wasn't it strange also, fellas, that to Mark Murphy to say in his social media comment that it was very sort of hurtful to my wife and to my family, from a media perspective, I thought that sort of opened up the possibility then to make it more about the wife in particular. I think we're sort of staying away from that. But I thought it was unusual for Mark to really include his wife in that statement off the bat because then it makes it pretty clear to
everyone. There will be some who will say you're complaining about social media on social media. You know, it's a weird world we live in.
Mm.
it's a different way of going about it, but I'm with Chief. Let's hope the players get together and say, righto, let's make sure that what's said is acceptable.
Times have changed, haven't they, Chief?
Heath Shaw has come out today and said, heat of the battle, things will still be said that shouldn't be, even though we'll all try not to. Mm. Moving on, the Hawks, Chief. Lots of injuries.
Wow.
And
it's a tough year at the best of times for the Hawks at the moment, Jim, but now they're falling over like flies. It's
good players too. Stratton's an unbelievably good player, gone for 4-6. Cyril 8-10. Frawley, turf toe, 8 weeks. Birchall, 3-4. They're in their best 10 players.
And Jager, or Jager.
Well, they are when they're up and playing, but to be brutally honest, they haven't been in their best 10 this year, as a general rule. And that's not being disrespectful to them, because basically no one's really having a growth.
Yep.
Look, apart from Ben McAvoy, probably. There aren't too many that just jump straight out and say, having a really good year. Tom Mitchell's an obvious
one.
Mitchell and McAvoy, but it's hard to just roll a few others off the tongue where you say they've had a good, consistent year thus far. So, look, it's an opportunity for some other players that need to get games into them and need to be seen. So, we'll get a good look at them over the next couple of months.
What is turf toe?
Oh, it's bone bruising in the toe joint, isn't it? Aaron Sanderland's had it.
But I don't know what it is. You can get it
if you kick the ground.
Pretty painful if you're kicking on it. I think the ones who are smiling out of all this is St Kilda, because they hold Hawthorn's first round draft pick. And as Hawthorn slide down the ladder, their first round pick gets earlier and earlier. And if they're going to trade that for a Josh Kelly or a Lockie Whitfield, geez, it really boosts their position.
Not sliding down the ladder at the moment, Jay. They just won two on the trot, mate. That's a streak for us. We're on the march upwards until otherwise.
But
Jaeger, anything?
Jaeger. How many? Every week yes, I tell you, it's Jaeger.
Yeah. It. O'Meara?
Like Jaguar.
O'Meara. How many? Are we here?
And it's O'Meara, not O'Meara.
Shut up, Chief, or punch
you. Could be a couple more weeks, Bill, because he has to rebuild his fitness and he wants to get back to 100% before he's going to go back out there again. So I think Andrew Russell down there is whipping him into a frenzy, really, to get that running program up and getting him back into top shape. Are there any excuses for Collingwood this week, fellas? I mean, it's a must-win position. I don't think anyone's made finals down from coming back from 2-7, but with these injuries, really, this is now a must-win game for Collingwood, isn't it?
And they'll be fired up. I mean, they were very good last week.
They were.
They were very good, just, you know, crucially let themselves down late, but
you got a feel for it.
You do,
Bucks, don't you?
You?
Do. I reckon
they've
you
been
do.
In so many of the games, and I think they're entitled to start favourites this week, and I think they'll be very hard to beat.
Good footy judges entitled to question Richmond's last 21 seconds.
Yeah, and I don't think there's too many defences of it.
No.
It's interesting. If you talk to coaches generally, most of them have a similar philosophy, but there are little tweaks that are different.
Yep.
But there were some gaping holes in what went on there. Now, there's still some young players involved, so, you know, maybe they didn't get enough direction or didn't think clearly in the heat of battle, but it's a lesson learned and an expensive one, and very similar to one that, you know, has happened to them in recent times as well, a couple of years ago.
Talking about the flooding back, Chief, for me, the issue started with how they set up in the centre square.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't allow a player to olay a clearance straight out of there have an unbridled passage to delivering it inside 50. I mean, you had to set up goal side, didn't you, or not?
You did, and there was too much separation between Dustin Martin and Lockie Neal. You've almost got to play I would have thought, and I've never played in the midfield, Jim, but I would have thought you'd want a defensive tagging mindset from your three midfielders, and your ruckman's trying to kill the ball straight down, and then those coming off the square want to lock it in. But
or at least make them kick wide or high.
Yeah,
they're the two options.
It was unlucky.
Unlucky?
Well, I reckon it was that he got the Sanderlands had the ball and actually threw it behind him.
People are saying it was a great tap to Neil, but he got a little bit lucky the way it squeezed out. But it wasn't,
which would be unlucky for Richmond.
It wasn't unlucky for Freo to kick the goal when made those mistakes.
But he didn't kick it to Mundy. He actually kicked it to space. So that Mundy didn't move till the ball was in the air.
And there's an argument also, you could say, well, should Grimes have been positioned on the outside because he had Rance behind him and on the inside. So where's the space?
There was someone on their own about centre forward too. There was a couple of...
they would have had a good look at it, Bill. I think it's fair to say.
I reckon. It was a great kick.
Oh, it was, absolutely. And a great kick from Mundy, too. Ice in his veins.
Just split the sticks, didn't he?
As soon as it left.
Straight away.
Just bang. That was almost Chief-like.
No. It was better than that.
Did you kick one after the siren?
No, I never got a shot after the siren.
No, I did.
Had a couple right before it. Which never missed, Bill. we had Rossy Lyon on the couch on Monday night. He spoke about being down in the lift well and watching it on a screen on his own. He thought Richmond had kicked another. Then he looked at me and goes, oh,
that's us.
There was a tight shot of Mundy with the ball. They go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder where he is. Then it peeled out. Oh, that's interesting. He got more excited.
Hey, he's good, Rossy Lyon, isn't he? No, when he's like that, he's good to chat to.
Love him in that mood. He's very entertaining. Yeah.
Can he defend any more the recruiting of Harley Bunnell? Or has he just got to lay down his swords and go, we got this horribly wrong?
Oh, he has backed him in for a long time. Yes. There has been some indiscretions. I like the language he used. You know, it's time to reboot. He's got to get back on his horse, doesn't he? Harley Bunnell. He said he was running today. I think he's running every second day and working pretty hard. But is it last chance saloon for Harley Bunnell? It has to be pretty close.
Well, how old? He's only 23.
But it's a behavioural pattern. Now, I think to be fair, Ross has been very understanding because he has apparently, by all reports, worked incredibly hard rehab-wise for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Now, when that continues to break down, that has to have an effect psychologically on the player. So you can excuse a couple of slips. But if it becomes repetitive behaviour that just every single time the same sort of thing's happening, there's got to be a place where you draw the line and say, well, that's just about it.
Do you reckon staying off the sauce would help?
Of course it would. And that's the common thread we believe to be in a lot of this. So, you know...
Well, you never like reading the sentence, undergo counselling to deal with personal issues.
Mm. Well, let's hope... he has a good run and gets back to playing, which would be the best thing for him.
It was bizarre scenes what he did at the weekend in the waffle for him to go over to his cousin in the coach's address and almost take him out of it, really. Weird.
Dustin Martin, what are we hearing with regard to next year? We saw the, you know, during Footy Classified, the tweet saying more fake news on TV tonight. Me and my manager by Footy Journo took it down pretty quickly. But what's where is he at with it all?
Well, everything I hear in footy is that St Kilda and North Melbourne have a lot of cash and are seriously interested in this man.
Jim.
And that he might not be as wedded to Richmond as what we all believe. Now, look, if you're going to put your life on this, you would say, you know, he will probably stay at Richmond. But I think he wants due recognition. And after the way potentially he felt he was treated last contract time, I think he is really keen to get what he wants. So, yeah, everyone I ask in footy says he's seriously weighing it up and that St Kilda and North Melbourne are in with a go.
See, your club's desperate to land a big fish. If they don't get Kelly, they get Martin.
Lots of cash.
Kelly.
Who would you rather?
Well, I like them both.
Oh, Jim, well, I'm not
Josh
sure you can
Kelly.
Afford them both.
No, I don't think we can have
What about Kelly?
I do
ever
love
since
Josh
the
Kelly.
Talk about Kelly, he's just gone to another level.
Yeah, he's good.
Beautiful. Beautiful mover. We need to get to a break. We've got lots still to discuss. Jesse Hogan amongst it.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
You've got the midweek rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M with James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall and Jay Clark.
Yeah, Jay-Z, Collingwood, Saturday night, I think it is. They take on the Hawks. What are they going to do in deference to the great Lou Richards?
Yeah, there's a nice tribute plan, JB, and includes a giant number one Guernsey, a silken number one Guernsey, I think, which will be passed over the cheer squad down the Collingwood cheer squad. And so it's almost a bit soccer style, isn't it? But a giant Lou Richards jersey will be passed around by the fans. The stadium will be blacked out. Mm. The MCG will be dark, and they're going to show images of Lou up on the big screen and then project his voice, you know, some of his gags, his laughter over the speakers. So that'll boom right around the MCG. Both teams will be out there. They'll hold a minute reflection and then a round of applause. So a bit of time and thoughts gone on this from the Collingwood people and done a great job, we think. Should be excellent.
The Dogs, let's find out how they're going to line up this weekend. Changes?
Well, there could be as many as five, JB. And they did this, remember, for the final against West Coast and still won that.
So who they got coming in?
Well, Dixon, Tory Dixon, Mitch Wallace, Jordan Roughhead, Robert Murphy, and even Dale Morris could come back from his broken leg. Yeah. So there's five there. As to who is going to go out is a real selection crush. I mean, maybe Marcus Adams, Bailey Dale, one of the youngsters, Clay Smith. The coach went into bat for Tommy Liberatore this week in his press conference. Only had eight possessions at the weekend. So you think surely he'll get another chance.
Dangerfield or Selwood last time they played and was doing a good job till he went off.
Yeah, and McRae, I think McRae, at the time as well. So there might be a surprise or two in that, fellas, but as many as five changes for
I'm
the Dogs.
I'm a Mitch Wallace fan, by the way, and I would love to see him ever crack the chief. I've never met the kid, but I love the way he goes about it. It'd be nice to see him have a good extended run.
And a revamp for the fixture next year.
Yeah, the CEOs are talking tomorrow about this, Billy. Now, Gil McLaughlin, the AFL CEO, is hell-bent on sort of eliminating the late-season snooze fests. You know, the games where the bottom teams, they're not trying, but they are trying, but they've already put their stars out to pasture with surgery, etc. So what he wants is the three conference system. So after 17 or 18 rounds, the ladder splits into three groups, top six, bottom six, middle six.
Conferences.
Yeah. So the top six jockey for finals positions, the middle six battle for the last two finals positions, but the bottom six, JB, is a real headache because whether it's a draft bonus or a finals wild card, which sounds like it's been knocked on the head, but Gil McLaughlin is really pushing for this, and the CEOs will discuss it tomorrow. It could come in as early as next year. You're not happy with it, by the look of it, Chief?
Oh, no, I get concerned when the bottom six, excuse me, play for draft picks.
Yep.
Because if there's a couple of teams that are having horror years, they've got no chance of winning.
Yep.
Have they?
No.
Unless they waited about, you know, the number of balls in the lottery system as to when they pull it out to get to where they get to for the first pick. But otherwise, the teams that are like sixth bottom and fifth bottom that might well be a much better team that's just had an ordinary year with injuries or something like that.
Could suddenly end up with pick one.
Yeah, I'm not sure they deserve it.
Yeah.
And we saw today in the NBA, Boston, who was competing in the conference finals, did get the number one pick, which is that sort of anomaly that you're talking about where Philadelphia got the third pick. So that it does happen.
We had Jesse Hogan's manager, Bill, contact us yesterday, saying the surgery had gone well, which is good, and he may well play in 4 to 6 weeks.
It's amazing, isn't it? Oh. Let's hope so. Let's just hope he's fit and healthy and firing and back playing as soon as he's comfortable.
Any latest on that, Jay-Z, anymore?
Yeah, just the real optimism around his recovery. They're really confident that he should be back, as you said, in a couple of months. Amazing that the Melbourne players knew about this before their performance, that great win over Adelaide at the weekend. You think it might sort of, I don't know, distract them or flatten them or whatever. They were inspired by it, and what a performance it was. So,
and you know what else was great about that? What? It didn't get out.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Very well done to the group there.
Look, I think it's fantastic, and they found it early, and there's no spreading, which is fantastic. You know footy clubs, Bill?
Yes.
How long before the boys start with the jokes?
Well, now that they know, well, they'll make sure it's all okay.
Good, yep.
And then,
it's open slather, isn't
it? Hey, one nut, there you go. Mate, you can just see it all happening, mate. Yeah. And that's what you love about clubs, because they do it well, but then you just feel like part of the family. It'll be on.
One nut, you reckon? Yeah. They'll go with that one?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if they will early. They'll give it a couple of weeks.
You've got to admire the way Simon Goodwin is moving his side around. You know, with Gawn out, Spencer out, now Hogan. Tommy McDonald's gone forward. Jaden Hunt's gone forward. So this is a coach really who's really throwing his side around, much like the Western Bulldogs, Luke Beveridge. It's working well for him.
All right, Chief, we've got far enough into this show. We now need to have a real close look at the Cats. Bill, how can you lay 12 tackles to halftime, or whatever the hell the number was? What happened?
You know what happens? Why you do that?
Why?
Because you're chasing bum all night for the first half. So that tells you they're slow. So there we go.
If you're chasing bum, i.e. you haven't got the ball, then you should be laying tackles.
Maybe you can't catch them.
Well, you can head them off.
No, well, that's
you
that's
can come
hence.
From different sides and angles.
There should have been more tackles laid. There's no doubt about that.
You think?
And what I've heard during the week down there,
yes,
bring your mouth guards, Chief.
Oh, you've heard this, haven't you?
Yeah, I just heard that. And bring your mouth guards, which I love as a supporter.
Who wants
you
the
want
most?
To hear that, and you want Chris Scott to get into them and have a real crack at them, and see who wants to play this Friday night in front of the stand.
Ooh. They'll be savage, you'd think, in that first quarter this week, wouldn't
suspect
you?
You'd hope so.
Scott Salwood the man, Billy, to come in?
He might come in. He's not the quickest bloke going around, but at least he'll show a bit of toughness and hardness. So I'd like to see him come in. I don't know about the selection of poor old Mark O'Connor, and he's only played 4 games, last week.
The Irishman.
After 10 or 12 games, you could probably give him a run. So
how's the stadium looking, Bill?
Oh, Chief.
Cherry Ripe?
Chief. It is magnificent. I'm telling you, you'll love it.
Have they improved the media facilities and the commentary boxes?
Yes, magnificent down there, the media
dog boxes we've had operating.
You know what they have got down there? A Zen garden for the players and their families.
What is that, Chief? What's a Zen garden?
Well, it relaxes,
does
meditation.
It? Is that what it does?
It's a Zen garden down there for the players and their families and their wives and all that, and they can sit there and just talk about things and get through life, So I like that. And there's also a see-through floor, so all the people can be
upstairs.
You watch
them warming up in the rooms
downstairs. Yeah, and then you can watch the whole team warm up.
And
which is good.
You know what they've also got down there, Chief?
What's that?
Lights. Have they? Lights.
I pointed out to Bill.
Do they work?
Oh, mate. You can see them from here.
Does the siren work?
I think the siren works.
We had an issue. We couldn't turn it off. But, Chief, I did point out that the SCG is only a good 34 years ahead of the skilled Simmons Stadium with the lights, so you probably wouldn't hang your head on that alone.
Well, the man on the moon, Neil Armstrong, said this is one small step for mankind.
And he didn't say that, Bill.
This is one giant step for mankind. What did he say?
A giant leap
for mankind. And he said, shit, those lights worked well down there at Geelong.
Okay, listen to this. Can you believe, Chief, that as much money has been poured into a stadium that we'll see 7 or 8 bits of use for the year? You got any use for how the hospital's going down there, Bill, or the school's getting
any funding? We haven't got any hospitals. No schools.
Any infrastructure?
You can't even turn on your kettle when the lights are on. There's no power.
They are doing, Jim. They're making a poultice out of the home.
Of course they are.
35,000 there. The crowd numbers now will be 35, I think, is it?
35, 36.
You're a Geelong boy. You must be proud of your town.
Yeah, and Brian Cook's got more plans in store, doesn't he?
There's one more stage.
Can't be another stage.
One more stage to go. There is. There's
he
one
is
more
a genius,
stage.
Brian Cook. He is an
and
absolute...
And haven't paid for any of it themselves.
Not a cent.
I think we've paid for a bit of it.
Marginal seat.
Oh, please. Marginal seat. Does help, Jim. It does help that.
Hey, Josh Shackey, what's going... Well, Chief, I'll ask you, because you're a former superstar forward. Where's this young man at? Is he going to stay in Brisbane? Are they going to be able to hang on to him? What's the go?
Well, there's going to be a lot of interested suitors, let's put it that way. And it's very interesting, the Brisbane philosophy, where they have asked his management for an answer sooner rather than later, so they can get about organising their list and working out what they need to do as well, which I think is fair and reasonable. But players and managers don't always respond the way you'd like them to when you ask them for an answer. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. The funny thing is we've all been focusing a lot more on Eric Hipwood this season because we haven't seen a lot of Josh Hackey. Yep. And he's had some injuries and at different stages we haven't seen enough of him. So I still haven't seen enough to work out how good a player he's going to be. But I've got no doubt that there'll be some clubs gearing up to snare themselves a young key forward.
What are you thinking there, Jay-Z? Is he staying or going?
Oh, I think Collingwood and Richmond are having a big crack at him. And he's really struggled on the field with this decision that he's been unable to make to this point. So
he would fit both of those clubs' lists.
Ooh. Certainly alarm bells are ringing at Brisbane that he might depart again at the end of the year, which is, you know, just continues the loss of great players or very good players for Brisbane. The other one is Tom Rockliffe too. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and I think we'll see that drag out because he is in potentially All-Australian form. He's leading the AFL for clearances, Bill. So with Brisbane sitting on the bottom of the ladder, they just need to find a way to retain this talent.
He didn't draw a lot of offers last time, though, did he, when they wanted to play that game? The interesting thing is we keep talking about whether players will come and go. What will you have to give up to get someone like Josh Hackey?
Well, two first-round draft picks.
Who?
I would have thought. That's what Brisbane will ask.
It's a lot for someone that hasn't quite established himself.
No. That you're betting the future on you. Eleni Glofsis?
I think it's fantastic to see a female umpire, and it's all about the decision-making. And she can bounce the ball, Jim. How good is that?
Brilliant.
So I hope she has a ripping weekend.
She's got to bounce it first, doesn't she? The first bounce should be her.
I reckon it'd be a great way to start the game. And hopefully this is encouraging a lot more women to come in because we don't care who's umpiring. We just want the best umpires making the best decisions.
Exactly.
It's the only thing that matters.
Yep. And on the back of that, I did say this to Bill when I found this out earlier in the week, Jay-Z, less is more with umpires. Mean? Just pay less.
Yep.
I don't care what the scenario is, just pay less free kicks.
Just like the finals.
I don't care who. I never think that they're biased against one team or another. There's no issue with any of that ever. It's just that I think way too many games have way too many free kicks paid in them. It's halve the number.
It's funny, we always have a crackdown on a certain rule. And then there's overkill.
Yes.
And then it gets relaxed again for a couple of weeks. And then we're right back where we started.
Deliberate out of bounds. A classic, isn't it?
Correct.
But just in the finals, they have left free
Bill.
Kicks. And we love it in the finals time.
You just think to yourself, maybe it's just me, Jay-Z, I sit in the crowd and think, how good the umpire's been, in the commentary box. And they look down and it's 4 free kicks to 6 at half time. Gold.
Yep.
Let the players work it out.
When you don't notice them as much.
Brilliant. Exactly right. Absolutely brilliant. So good luck to Eleni. I hope she'll be absolutely brilliant. Now, Bill.
Any umpires you notice more than others, Jim?
Razor.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
There was a bald umpire throwing the ball in on the weekend. Bald boundary umpire who had a nightmare.
Don't knock baldness.
He couldn't get. No, I just know he was. I know him because he was bald. I've got no idea what his name is.
How many umpires?
He couldn't get the ball to the ruckman on about 5.
How many umpires' names do you know?
18 metres.
Razor
Ray Chamberlain.
That's all. There's some blokes that have umpired.
Matt Stevick, who's a good umpire.
400 games and you don't know their name.
Brilliant. On the whole, Bill, they do a fantastic job, the umpires.
Yep,
just pay less is all I personally ask. Now, Bill.
We're done?
No,
we're done.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Had an accident? Let Sheen Panel Service get you back on the road with a free courtesy car. Sheengroup.com.au.
Hey, what about tomorrow, by the way? Wayne Carey in and Daniel the Source Merritt. Big Source.
Big Source.
Champion.
Just before you start your joke, Bill, is there a reason you're sitting next to me today? Normally you're down the end.
Because I like you, Chief.
Do you think this will enhance the way you present the joke to me?
And get you to smile. And I'll start with a little entree for you.
Oh, no, too.
See, this is when he gets himself in trouble when he tries to ad lib and just finesse.
Yeah. If you say the word gullible really slowly, Chief, it sounds like lemons. Do you get that? Because you're gullible, you got it. Now, well, that was JC. Oh,
that's
now,
real.
So you ready, poxy. Chief? This is
How
it.
How bad's that, Chief?
Have you got the ding-a-ling-ling ready?
No.
3 nuns die and go to heaven, Chief.
Right. You're laughing over 3 nuns
already.
And all must answer one question to get into heaven, okay? The first nun is asked, who was the first man on earth? She says, Adam. Lights, bells, and the pearly gates open. She walks in. Second nun was asked, who was the first woman on earth? She says, Eve. Bells, lights. The third nun is asked, Chief.
I'm real concerned about this.
What was the first thing Eve said to Adam? Puzzled, the third nun says, that's a hard one. Yes!
No.
Fair dinkum, Leroy, you're getting the
answer. He did you no favours then.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, the only one that could save that joke's plastic.
Yeah. Bill, you're trying to add extra dimensions into a poor joke.
I'm just trying to do something. Where's Higo? Higo, all dangerous Dave, fair dinkum.
Not as a joke.
That was good. Gee, that's a hard one.
That was the Rush Hour podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.